Let us pray. Holy God, in this your word, read and proclaimed, give us the power to comprehend with all the saints the length and the width, the height and depth of the love of Christ and fullness of life in you. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 9. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So we are beginning today, we begin this week, a four-week series on the Old Testament book of Ruth. Ruth is a short little book. It is just four chapters long, and it is about the story of, a woman named Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, and eventually also a guy named Boaz. So we're going to be reading and looking at one chapter each week, and we're going to get to this first chapter of Ruth in just a moment. And we're also going to, each week, we're going to pair, as you may have noticed, the reading from Ruth, we're going to pair it with a short gospel reading. Now, only spending one week on each chapter, this certainly will not let us say everything that there is to say about this book. But here's the great thing about stories, right? And certainly this is the case for the story that unfolds in Ruth. Stories are they're not arguments to be parsed out. They are experiences and perspectives to be received, right? They have a way, right? Good stories have a way, whether fictional stories or true stories, told and retold, right? They have a way of burrowing into you, of finding a place to live in you, so that then suddenly it turns out we begin to live out the stories that we take in. Stories are less, here's point A, here's point B, here's point C to remember and so on and things like that. And they're more, hey, here's something to chew on, something to receive, something that will get inside and maybe even rattle around in your spirit a bit, maybe even haunt you, right? Haunt maybe in a good way, right? A holy, sanctified sort of haunting. And so my hope is that even with just this four-week look at this book in the Bible, this Old Testament book of Ruth, the story here will find a home in you and in your life and me and my life and in us and in our life. Because the story of Ruth, it is a story filled with themes of insiders and outsiders, emptiness and fullness, famine and feasting, death and life, loss and hope, bitterness and joy. And woven through it all, there is a thread of faithful kindness and steadfast love. There's a Hebrew word that shows up a few times, three times actually, in this book of Ruth. Once in chapter 1, once in chapter 2, and then once in chapter 3. But this word, the meaning of this word, it echoes and it reverberates throughout the entire book. You can see its thread running through every single page. And it's the Hebrew word chesed. Throughout the Old Testament, right? And this word shows up not just here a couple times in Ruth, but it shows up all over the Old Testament. It sometimes gets translated as steadfast love. It showed up like that in our call to confession this morning from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your chesed, to your steadfast love. Other times, it's translated as loyalty, or kindness, or even loving kindness. here in Ruth, in the translation that I'm going to read here, the one we typically use, the NRSV, this word is translated as kindly and kindness in chapters 1 and 2, and loyalty in chapter 3. But however it's translated, chesed is all of that together. And it is primarily and firstly a word that describes God's orientation to his people. God's covenant, steadfast, loyal, loving kindness and faithfulness. God's love and faithfulness that clings to his people and refuses to let go. And that is ultimately what this book of Ruth is about. It is the story of chesed manifested in a particular way, at a particular time, in a particular place, by particular people, in the life and lives of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. God is in this book. God in this book is, if anything, a background character. And yet God's presence is woven throughout every word, woven throughout as chesed unfolds in and through the lives of these people, as they show one another and receive from one another steadfast faithfulness and loving kindness. Chesed showing up in the intimate and particular of the lives of particular people living in and living out their own particular circumstances. And so we're going to read chapter 1 here. I promise we're going to get to it. But one more thing before we do. God's chesed always comes in and through and over and under and into and out of the particulars of life. It always comes in the midst of and out of and into the context, if you will, of wherever it is that we find ourselves situated. And so too, Ruth. This book comes to us in and from and out of its own particular context. Ruth comes immediately after the book of Judges. And Judges tells of the time after God's people have entered the promised land. They've been liberated from Egypt. They've wandered those 40 years in the wilderness, and they've come to the threshold of the promised land. Think the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy. And then they've entered the promised land, the book of Joshua. And once in the promised land, it turns out they struggle to live faithfully as God's people, the book of Judges. Before it was a kingdom, Israel was this confederation of 12 tribes with God alone as their king. And long story short, the book of Judges tells this story of their struggle to live into this, their struggle and their inability to keep the law, the way, the covenant of God. And whenever this happened, what you see when you read through the book of Judges, whenever this happened, whenever they struggled to and didn't live out the covenant, God raised up, things started to go badly. And then God would raise up a judge to call them back. Think people like Deborah and Gideon and Samson. And this Old Testament book of Judges, it is a series. When you read it, you see it is a series of these cycles of disobedience and faithlessness, which leads to judgment. And then a call to a judge, God raises a judge, which calls the people back to repentance. And then there's goodness and flourishing until they fall into faithlessness again. And then that cycle starts over. But as judges go on, one thing that you notice and you pick up on is that even those cycles, they get more and more broken. Even the judges that are raised up to call people back to repentance, they themselves get more and more complicated. Sin and faithlessness becomes more and more embedded with each cycle. And you see that Judges is less a series of cycles and more a downward spiral. Until you get to the final verse of Judges. Judges 21, verse 25. Judges ends with this: "In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. And this is not a celebration of freedom and individual rights. This is a statement about, it is a condemnation of, this is a judgment on the people's refusal and inability to live in and live as the covenant community that the Lord had called and liberated them to be. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes. And so it's from that point, that closing verse of Judges, that when we turn to the next page, we get to the beginning of the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, in the days when everyone was only doing what was right in their own eyes, in the days of faithlessness and disobedience, in the days of warfare and conflict, in the days of national failure, in the days of the failure of the people to live out and live into God's covenant, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. In the days of judgment, in that judges sort of cycle, something like a famine was a judgment. In the days of judgment and national calamity, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. There is famine, and even Bethlehem, the very name of which, Bethlehem, is a word that means house of bread. There is famine even in Bethlehem. The house of bread is empty. Even in the house of bread, there is no bread. Ruth goes on in verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And when they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Elimelech and his wife Naomi, they go to Moab. Moab is not the land of God's people. They are refugees forced by famine and circumstance into this strange land. And so in covenant speak, right, the insiders of God's covenant have to go live with the outsiders. And at some point while they're there, Elimelech dies, leaving his wife Naomi and their two sons, who end up marrying Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. And so they've pretty much said, all right, this is our home now. And about 10 years go by, and Naomi's sons, they too die. So Naomi is left without her two sons and her husband. And Orpah and Ruth, these Moabite women, they are left without their husbands and no sons. And this is troubling for a host of reasons. Not just because of the loss and grief, but also because in that day and in that time, if you were a woman, you were under the provision of your father until you were married. And once you were married, you were under the provision of your husband. And when your husband died, you were then under the provision of your son or your sons. And without that, life got very precarious and uncertain. Let alone if you were like Naomi, a foreigner, a stranger, living in a strange land. No extended family even to come in. And we'll get to more on that later in later chapters in Ruth. So then verse 6. Then Naomi started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. Naomi hears that things are better in Israel, that the Lord has considered his people and given them food. That judge's cycle of disobedience and judgment and then repentance is apparently still playing out in Judah. And so Naomi heads back. Verse 8. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, and even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Naomi begs her daughters-in-law to turn back and not to go with her, not to leave their land, their people, their home, their security. They have no husbands, but they have family. They have the family of their husbands, and so there are safety nets there for them. But if they stay with Naomi, she's not going to have any more children, no more sons that they could marry. And even if she could, it would be years and years until they were grown. So don't follow me, she says, because there will be nothing for you if you do. For your own sake, she says, you do not want to align yourself with me, so please, just stay here. Verse 14. Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus, and so to me, and even more as well, if even death parts me from you." Chesed. Back when Naomi was first telling Orpah and Ruth that they should turn back, she tries to send them off with a benediction of sorts. May the Lord deal kindly with you. And that's the first time that word shows up. May the Lord do to you chesed. But now here, Ruth doesn't say it in so many words, but Ruth shows it. Ruth shows chesed to Naomi. Ruth clung to her. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you die, I will die. I am in this with you. Come what may," Ruth says to Naomi. In the days when the judges ruled, in the days when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, in the days when no one in Israel was faithful, Ruth, a Moabite woman, a foreigner, a stranger to the promised land, and an outsider to the covenant, Ruth was faithful. Sometimes we do need the big cosmic picture of God's love and faithfulness, right? The Zoom Bible study that we've been doing since March, that a number of you have been involved with, we've been studying the New Testament book of Ephesians. And the first half of Ephesians is big and grand and cosmic. The stage is set from the very beginning of that book of Ephesians, setting the time frame as from eternity past into the present, on into eternity yet to come. And it builds from there. But then the second half narrows down, and we're just now getting into the second half in the Bible study. And in its own way, it starts to go from this big, grand, cosmic, universal picture, and it starts to get particular. And we see this in the Gospels, right? "For God so loved," you know the verse, "God so loved the world, but also blessed are the poor," the poor in spirit, depending on whether you're reading Luke or Matthew, right? Sometimes it is only in the very particular, and that absent that, the big, universal, sweeping affirmations almost become meaningless. That if what is big and grand and cosmic and universal, if it doesn't show up and manifest in particular ways, at particular times and circumstances, that the only way to actually proclaim, for God so loved the world, is if we can also say, blessed are particular. Blessed are these particular people because of these particular circumstances are going on. There is a time to say, yes, God bless everyone. And there is a time to say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Sometimes that's the only way to actually proclaim the truth that all may be blessed in God. It is to get specific because of the circumstances, right? What's that saying? Everyone wants to save the world, but no one wants to help with the dishes, right? Particular. Nestled into the context of this time of the judges, this almost sweeping and universal big picture failure of God's people to live into the big, grand, sweeping chesed of God, comes this very personal and intimate story of this widow and outsider Ruth, who in a particular time and place and way, she shows chesed. She fulfills chesed. She obeys chesed to one of God's covenant people, Naomi, in the midst of her grief and loss and her emptiness, her need. In the days when faithfulness could not be found anywhere in all of Israel, when the big, grand, sweeping, universal faithfulness of God was hard to see, faithfulness showed up here, in this place, in this way. In Moab, of all places, between these two people, right here in this circumstance, steadfast faithfulness and loving kindness was shown and proclaimed in this way, in these lives, in Ruth, the Moabite widow, committing herself, aligning herself with Naomi, an Israelite widow. Even when it meant that she, Ruth, would herself then become a stranger in a strange land, going to where she has no safety net, going where she will, for all she knows, likely be scorned and rejected. And yet it is in this way that chesed was found and made known. And a bit of foreshadowing here, it may very well be that the salvation and redemption of the nation, of God's people, and dare we even then say of the world, hinges. It turns on the faithfulness, the chesed of this particular person to this other person in these very particular and yet also very common and everyday circumstances of life. And like a lot of us, when it actually shows up, not in the abstract where we can keep it safely at arm's length, but in the very real and personal and particular, in the very flesh and blood of human life, Naomi doesn't quite know what to do with it. Picking up in verse 18, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Perhaps Naomi. Though on her way home, she wonders how she will be received after having first left during a famine, left with she who left the empty land with a full family, returns with all of her losses. And not only that, but returns with Ruth, a stranger, a Moabite no less. Perhaps Naomi is wondering about the explaining she's going to have to do. Back to verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." Naomi is a name, it's a word that means pleasant or sweet. Mara is a word that means bitter. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me sweet. Call me bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. Verse 21. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? I was Naomi. Now I am Mara. I was pleasant. I was sweet, but now I am bitter. I was full, but now I am empty. I left the calamity here in this land, but now calamity has come upon me. But then the chapter concludes. So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite and her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And so even in the bitterness and the emptiness, the stage is now set for what comes next. This chapter closes with a ray of hope. The door is cracked open just an inch. In those days when the judges ruled, in those days when faithlessness was all around, in those days when chesed was hard to find, when it seemed the Lord's hand was against and upon the people, and when no one in Israel could seem to live up to and live into it and live out chesed, there showed up in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. There showed up through this Moabite widow, Ruth. There showed up in this foreigner to the promised land and stranger to the covenant. There showed up in her a faithfulness that clings. And through her, chesed showed up to Naomi, this grieving daughter of Israel. And the house of bread, Bethlehem, that earlier in tragic irony had been empty of bread. Well, now in Bethlehem, it is the beginning of the barley harvest. For this is indeed what the very chesed of God looks like when it shows up, when it is both received and given. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for justice, for things to be right, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who work for wholeness, for they will be called children of God. Beloved, as we enter into the story of Ruth, it is written with chesed on every page. Beloved, when the chesed of God, may we learn that when the chesed of God shows up for us and around us, may we learn to see it and receive it. And even in those times, in those places where it seems nowhere to be found, may it be found in us and through us, in our time and in our place. For chesed is always found in Jesus Christ. Amen.